Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hey friends, it's Shauna, your nerdy girlfriend and counselor from SimpleOnPurpose.ca. Welcome to the Simple on Purpose podcast. Guys, how is it March? How is it? Where did February go? Okay, February felt like a blur of hockey. I've been setting up a new office to do some local sessions and getting that painted and all set up. And I just look up and suddenly it's March. Oh yeah, by the way, I had a kid turn 13 last month too. Isn't that crazy? What's also crazy is that means I've been sharing with you guys for almost 13 years because the very first thing I ever posted way back on a blog spot called Dovetail Blog was the story of my C-section. And I had a lot of big feelings about it, a lot of disappointment and frustration and anger, and a nurse had recommended that I write about it. That was the first blog post that really started this whole online community, online relationship that we were able to develop, and how it's grown, how we've changed, how we've grown together. And now we're talking about things like cognitive distortions and motherhood and mindsets and just really keep digging in deeper and peeling off the layers and going deeper together, which I cherish so much that you guys are on this journey with me and we can do it together. All right, so this episode is a follow-up to the one I did two episodes ago on cognitive distortions. The topic was brought up because I had a request to talk about positive self-talk during the day, which made me think when we're paying attention to our thoughts, we really have to notice the way that we filter our thoughts and the cognitive distortions we might have. So I covered some of the main ones in that episode, like all or nothing thinking, disqualifying the positive, emotional reasoning, overgeneralization. There are also some download wallpapers to get with that as well. I'll make sure to link that in the show notes. And this episode will be the follow-up. I'm going to answer the scenarios, the specific scenarios you submitted to me in the Facebook group on the subject of times in your day that you feel you need some positive self-talk. I'm going to give you a heads up right here that I am going to be launching a Patreon, guys. I've thought about this for many years, actually, ever since we closed down the Life on Purpose Academy in 2021. I knew I wanted to bring a community back, and it's going to be on Patreon. So I'm going to cover a handful of the scenarios here and have an additional episode in the Patreon to really keep digging into this. All right. Self-talk, positive self-talk. Maybe you struggle with positive self-talk. Maybe you notice it in a lot of areas of your life. Maybe in certain areas where you feel a bit more shaky or unsure. Maybe you notice you feel defeated about things. And often we struggle with negative self-talk when we're feeling defeated, when something's not going quite right. And it's interesting that negative self-talk, we use negative emotions to motivate ourselves, specifically shame, criticism, self-bullying. And the hard part is these negative emotions, they might be effective, but they're not empowering. It is negative reinforcement. Avoid that negative feeling, versus positive, to seek out the positive, a totally different approach we can take, totally different emotions that are driving us. Got an episode number 177 on that if you want to dig into towards motivation and away motivation a little bit more. If you do struggle with negative self-talk, I want you to know three things. The first one is it isn't your fault. And what I mean by that is you likely didn't choose negative self-talk on purpose with intention. You didn't decide, I would like to think poorly of myself. I would like to feel negative emotions here. As with most of our inner narratives, this was formed before you consciously knew it. Our thoughts, our default thoughts, how we react, the main themes of our thoughts, they are handed down to us in a way. We learn them, we adopt them. The same way we learn language, how we learn to call water. We learn how to think about ourselves, our abilities, our opportunities, who we are in the world, who other people are in the world. We learn how to think. We are programmed with cause, effect, event, meaning, belief, result from our upbringing, from our culture, from our experiences. It's like just the blueprint that we formed from observing and learning and that cause and effect that has taught us. And then the more we think in a certain way, the more we think that way. Neurons that fire together, wire together. And I like to think of our thoughts as a path. When you think a thought, you're like treading a little trail through the woods. And the more you think it, the more that path gets worn down and hardened. And next thing, it's like an 8-lane freeway and it's your default thought. You don't even notice it happens. It happens so fast without intention, without conscious awareness even. And our brain does that to be efficient, to save energy. That's why we have habits. That's why we have automatic thoughts to save energy. So you didn't do it with intention on purpose, likely. And the second thing I want you to know is that if you want to think positive, if you want to shift that, you have to do it on purpose. This is because our brain not only has this kind of blueprint that we're thinking with, but it additionally has a negativity bias. I call it danger brain. Our brain is looking for what could go wrong. It's important. We need this, actually. It's a very important way that we have been kept safe over the generations, because if we are aware of what's negative, what's the danger around us, that means we're aware of the risks to our survival. So spot the danger, manage it, survive. It's very useful, right? Our brain is looking for problems. It's looking for danger and managing that. I often joke with my clients that we think our brain is just going to naturally make our lives better, but we have to be intentional with how we use that. It's like having this great computer. It can do all these things, but whatever program it's running is the result we're going to get. And our brain really does have this program of running that is a negativity bias. It has a lot of assumptions and stories that we adopted from early on that have never been challenged. The program has never been revised to what we want it to be doing right now. I hope I'm not going all over the place and being too meta. If we seek to think more positively, we want to use positive emotions to empower us, to motivate us, then we need to program that in. We need to revise our programming and we need to practice it, which is the third thing. Our brains are neuroplastic, which means we can change our own minds, but it takes time and it takes effort, which your brain won't be excited to do. We can forge a new path for our thoughts. We can blaze a new path and we can keep treading down that path and hardening it and strengthening it. It will take practice, but it is doable. What I would like to do for this episode is run through the scenarios that were shared with me. I want to talk about the cognitive distortions we likely have involved in this. And as we are working on changing our minds about what we think about ourselves and our lives, I don't want to tell you what to think. You know what? I might tell you in some cases the thoughts that I go to, but remember, I can tell you what I think about these situations, but that might not work for you. It is important to do the work of dismantling your current thoughts and finding a new thought that works well for you, something that feels believable and helpful. The thoughts we want to shift into have to align with our values and the stage of change that we are in. And this is CBT work, cognitive behavioral therapy work, which is shifting our thoughts in order to shift how we feel and act. And I want you to keep in mind that with CBT work, feelings still matter. We still need to address our feelings. We aren't here to just change our thoughts with positive affirmations and use that as an emotional bypass. Our feelings still matter. We need to validate these emotions. They are there for good reasons. And I'll make sure to put an episode on negative emotions in the show notes as well. As I go through the scenarios, I want to offer you some questions that you can use to challenge your current thoughts and consider how you want to achieve a more motivating emotion and motivating thought pattern in this case. And as always, this podcast is not a substitute for personal therapy. Where you feel stuck or overwhelmed, or you just want to personally grow, bring these topics to your safe and trusted person. The first scenario that we'll cover is, here it is, the inability to feel good enough at work or at home, the inability to properly balance either, to the point of feeling like you could possibly be proficient in both. I get asked very often about balancing home and work, and I'm going to do an episode on that in the future, but there are two components to pay attention to. One is what you're doing, and two, how you feel about what you're doing, and we need to address both. When it comes to what you are doing, it helps to really audit and observe yourself. How are you spending your time? Where can you declutter your time? Where do you need to be more proactive? What needs planning in order to help you be more successful? This goes with number two, because if you, let's say you never plan a meal and you get home from work and you're just rushing around the house and you're not sure what to eat, and like we're already feeling stressed out and hungry, and so is everyone else, that is probably a time that you are going to feel really defeated and really like you can't balance things. So what plans can you put in place in order to set you up for success, in order to help you feel like you are managing things? The other part to pay attention to is how you are feeling. In this example, we probably see the cognitive distortion of overgeneralization, which can be really normal. If you feel bad in one area, it's normal to sometimes make a blanket statement on how you're showing up poorly overall. The other cognitive distortion that we see here are some sneaky shoulds, the shoulds. We all have these shoulds, this checklist, and it might not be we're fully aware of it, it's just under the surface, a checklist on how this all has to look, what we should be doing or not doing, what we should be feeling, even more, how we think we should be feeling. Some questions to ask yourself here to challenge that overgeneralization are, what have I done well? What are three things I did well today? Start looking for evidence. Challenge that confirmation bias your brain has, which is that strategy our brain uses to seek evidence to support its beliefs. Our brain just wants to be right. And so if you have a belief, a narrative that you aren't finding balance, you aren't good, your brain has that bias to filter out evidence to the contrary. That's the confirmation bias. So you probably do have a lot of evidence that you are not proficient, that you are not doing well, that you are not balancing things. And part of us needs to take that counter position with ourselves and search for evidence that something else could be true. What did I do well today? And there is no small thing here. Small things matter. The next is to ask, what are my shoulds? Get to know them. What do you expect of yourself? What should you be doing? How should you be feeling? Do you like your shoulds? Do you want to keep them? And as a side note, something to always pay attention to is your stress level here. What is your window of tolerance like right now? That window of tolerance where we feel like we have capacity to deal with our day. If we are out of our window of tolerance, we're either going up into hyperarousal or down into hypoarousal. And when we have a reduced window of tolerance, we feel less capacity. We feel a lowered capacity. It's hard to have a sense of resilience and capability. And we quickly and easily fall out of the window of tolerance. I'll make sure to put some episodes in the show notes on that as well. The next example we have here is when you have many littles, don't get enough sleep often, and are sleepy and grumpy during the day and can't seem to shake it off. Right off the bat, I want to send you to episodes 74 and 73. Those talk about the emotional struggles of being a mom and empowering mindsets that you can use in early mom life. in this question, I'm assuming that I'm talking to the parent who is the one that is sleepy and tired, because I know what it's like to have more than one small kid. I'm sure. I was so sure. They had secret meetings and would be like, who's taking the 1 a.m. shift? Who's taking the 3 a.m. shift? And they would plan out which shift they would wake up to make sure their parents were not sleeping. I'm sure of it. So let's just stop and take a minute and validate how hard it is to not be sleeping. If you are not sleeping through the night consistently, that is hard. It reduces your window of tolerance. It changes how you feel. It changes the amount of capacity you feel you have. It changes your emotions. So I think just stop and give yourself some appreciation that you are doing a hard thing. And sure, let's hope it's a season, but sleep is very underrated. So I would go back and listen to those past episodes. I even talk specifically about the mindset of being tired. And I would also point you to the Hard and Awesome episode. If you feel like you're not able to shake off that grumpy part of you, when you are in a state of feeling like you just can't shake it off, you might have a couple of cognitive distortions going on. One could be emotional reasoning. I'm grumpy, so there must be all of these external things making me grumpy. Or I am just identifying, like, I'm a grumpy person. I'm feeling stressed, so I must be a bad mom. I must be unable to handle this. And my encouragement to you here is to get some distance from your emotions instead of just in that perpetual state of grumpy, which just grows and grows, just like even holding your hands out and saying, I'm feeling grumpy because I'm tired. Like I'm experiencing grumpiness because I am tired, and separate that emotion from you. And also acknowledge that your emotions are existing and create an experience in your body that is separate from the external things happening. The other cognitive distortion that might be going on here is all or nothing thinking. If you feel like you really can't shake off this feeling, it's that either or situation, that all or nothing. Either I'm grumpy or unhappy, I'm tired or I'm not tired, the day is good or it's bad. And I think that's where the Hard and Awesome episode might really be helpful. A question when we have all or nothing thinking is to notice what's in between the either or, the black or the white, the it's either good or it's bad. And as well, sometimes it can help to let both of those things exist, and saying something like, even if I have hard parts of my day, there's still some awesome parts I can have. Even if I am tired, there are still ways I can enjoy my day. So allowing that goodness back in. So a couple of questions to think about here. How can I separate out these emotions and let them exist without making it mean a whole lot of other things about me and my life, and challenge that all or nothing thinking? The day can still have good parts in it. I'm going to cover one more scenario, and then I'd encourage you to go over to the Patreon if you want to keep digging into more. This scenario is when you work so hard to get everything done just to start over again, and when you're feeling annoyed at your family. And first of all, how relatable. I know I feel like this. I feel defeated at the relentlessness of keeping a home and managing a family. A major cognitive distortion we often have here are the should statements. What are your shoulds for your standards in your home? And I'm not saying you're unreasonable. I'm not saying you shouldn't have standards. I'm just saying notice. Notice what you expect out of yourself and your home. What are your shoulds for the people in your home? Again, this can meet resistance. I am not saying that you should never expect your family to help out, or that you should just expect your family to be doing what they're doing. I'm not telling you to let go of this. I'm just saying notice. And I say notice it because I'm guessing your list of shoulds for how things should look and how people in the house should act and how you should feel and how you should act, they're probably different than your reality. And when our shoulds are different than our reality, that becomes a source of suffering. Byron Katie is a really great resource on this topic. Some questions to ask yourself here. What are my shoulds? My shoulds for the house, my shoulds for how it should be maintained, my shoulds for what others should do, my shoulds for what I should be doing. And do I like them? You might decide some of your shoulds can be put aside for this season. Also ask yourself here, very important, how do I show up when things don't go how they should? I think that's where we see the annoyance coming in. How do I want to handle the difference between my reality and my mental list of shoulds? Like I said, this is such a relatable example. I feel it too. It is frustrating to feel this way. And we can really get stuck in that spiral of defeat. It's hard to come out of there. I know for me personally, this thought shows up most for me when I'm already overwhelmed. I feel and act and think differently when I have had maybe a crazy work day, or I feel overwhelmed. There's a lot of things on my plate and I come into the kitchen and it's just like a hot mess. And I just feel overwhelmed and I get really defeated, sometimes a little salty about how the house is kept. But if I feel like I am on top of things, I feel relaxed and I come into the kitchen, I just start cleaning it because I'm like, oh, like now I can make the kitchen how I want it to look. Like I empower myself with that. So I know really how hard it is, and pay attention to how you're already feeling and addressing that window of tolerance you're in. And without specifically knowing your situation and how your home is run and what you want more of or less of, I just also point you to some episodes on involving kids with chores. I'll link an episode on that. An interesting book I had read that I haven't really shared much on, but I found it really interesting, was Hunt, Gather, Parent. And they talk about different approaches that different cultures have to get kids involved with cleaning and helping out around the house. But I just validate you. It is a frustrating thing. And sometimes the thought that helps me is we live here. We live here. And acknowledging that it is by fact, by nature, it is going to be a relentlessly situated word, but it is going to be a constant cycle. There's always going to be dishes. There's always going to be laundry. There's always going to be shoes at the front door and like weird stuff in the bathroom that doesn't belong there. That's always going to exist as long as other people are living here. And that just helps me get some distance, like just accepting, like that's reality. Now, what do I want to do about it? And not to say I still don't get frustrated and defeated and need to do the work of getting everybody on board, helping out a bit more. All right, friends, I hope that this has been a helpful episode for you. I hope that you are able to step back and think about what you're thinking, because how we're thinking has a really big impact on how we're feeling and how we act, how we show up. And my encouragement to you, my mission in all that I do is to help you show up how you want to, show up in line with your values, with who you want to be, and with the life that you want to build. I aim to help you live life on purpose by paying attention to these things. As I mentioned, there will be a Patreon community opening up called the Life on Purpose Community. I'm going to link in the show notes. You can go check it out if that's something that you're interested in. Have a great week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.